All this week, WBUR, in collaboration with the New England Center for Investigative Reporting, has been airing a series of stories investigating a murder in Brockton 30 years ago. Back then, Brockton was still known as Shoe City, USA, and the City of Champions, though its fortunes were on the ropes, as most of the shoe factories were closing, and memories of the glory of a championship prizefighter were about to fade. As poverty, crime, and drug use soared in Brockton, business was booming for criminal defense attorney Kevin Reddington.
Back then in 85, 84, it was like the Wild West. It was quite an interesting time back then.
Cocaine and crime were destroying the community, and even the police force wasn't immune as drug corruption reached the highest ranks in the force. This is the Brockton where alleged drug dealer Guillermo Rodriguez was murdered while awaiting trial. 19-year-old Darrell Diamond Jones of Boston was convicted of the killing and is now 30 years into a life sentence without parole for a crime he insists he did not commit. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has this morning's story.
A simple granite tombstone in Melrose Cemetery marks the grave of Guillermo Rodriguez. He was 43 when he was murdered in the parking lot of a Brockton sandwich shop, a moonless, rainy night, Veterans Day 1985. Across the street from the murder scene was a seedy bar called Pete and Mary's. Rodriguez was in the bar the night he was killed. Lifelong Brockton resident Joy Boone recalls it was a popular hangout.
Because at Pete and Mary's at that time, people went in there, they smoked their weed like it was legal, and people sold drugs. The police knew. No one ever tried to stop it.
I used to smoke coke on a regular basis.
Edna Levine was in Pete and Mary's the night of the murder.
Everybody in that year, in that place, in the Brockton town, was a cocaine user, yes.
Levine had just left Pete and Mary's and was in the parking lot across the street when a young black man grabbed Guillermo Rodriguez by his coat, shot him in the stomach, and escaped into the night.
Did I see a man running? Yes. Did I see the man falling to the ground? Yes.
But Levine says she didn't see the murder or the killer's face. Brockton police were on the scene within minutes. The bar is just a few hundred feet from the police station. 6 days later, detectives arrested Darrell Diamond Jones for killing Guillermo Rodriguez. Jones admits he was at Pete and Mary's the night of the murder, but he insists he didn't shoot Rodriguez and didn't know him.
I don't know what happened when he died. I know where I was that night. You know, I got off a bus, headed to Brockton, see a friend of mine, stopped off at the bar. Police came in the bar and said there'd been a shooting, nobody should move. You know what I mean? Everybody stay right here.
At the time of his murder, Guillermo Rodriguez was awaiting trial for possession of cocaine. His attorney asked that the coke confiscated in his case be re-examined by the state. Drugs in cases like Rodriguez's was stored in the Brockton Police Evidence Room. It was kept under lock and key, held by the chief of detectives, supposedly safe and secure. It wasn't. Brockton attorney Kevin Reddington.
That was just a morass. I mean, it was just a mess.
In mid-1984, a kilo of coke worth $500,000 was missing from the police evidence room. Richard Sprouls, head of detectives, told the Brockton Enterprise, "If it turns out we have a bad apple among us, we'll do whatever we have to weed him out." Sprouls had Lieutenant Robert DeCarli conduct an internal investigation, and months later, a 15-year veteran of the force was arrested for stealing the coke. The officer's attorney, Kevin Reddington, subpoenaed a copy of the drug evidence logs used by police to sign drug samples out for trial.
Yeah, I had a photographer come in with me when I got the court order. I saw Sprouls and DeCarli on the drug logs in the detective bureau.
The evidence logs show at least 25 officers signed drugs out but didn't return them. Reddington says among the names was Robert DeCarli, the lead internal investigator.
And I had found a location where he himself had actually signed out marijuana and never signed it back in.
It was a courtroom bombshell police hadn't anticipated.
I think they probably figured that maybe he'd plead guilty and they could put a bow on it and be done with it, but they didn't expect that the case would go to a jury the way it did.
It took the jury just 1 hour to acquit Reddington's client. The stolen coke was never found, and no other Brockton cop was ever charged. But Reddington's comments in court did raise suspicion.
The trial judge said to me at the sidebar, "Surely you're not suggesting that Lieutenant Sprawls was involved in taking any of the cocaine, are you?" And then, of course, he ended up pleading guilty down the road.
Richard J. Sprawls, I live in the town of Bridgewater, and I'm a soccer coach and referee.
But back in 1985, at the time of the missing coke and the murder investigation of alleged drug dealer Guillermo Rodriguez, Richard Sprawls was chief of Brockton detectives and an officer living a lie.
It had become obvious. I was a full-blown addict alcoholic.
That truth didn't come out until 1989, when Sprawls was busted. By then, he had been promoted to chief of Brockton Police.
I was so happy that I got caught. I took my gun, my badge. I said, "Let's do what we got to do. It's done. It's over. This nightmare is over."
Sprawls admitted he had been stealing coke from the Brockton Police Evidence Room for 5 years, but said he had nothing to do with the missing kilo worth $500,000. He says day by day, he just nickeled and dimed what he needed.
Nitpicking. A little bit at a time. It was never put in to be used as evidence. That's the coke I was using.
How much was it?
It was a kilo.
So you used a kilo over 5 years?
Yeah. And at that point, when that ran out, I went to other samples because at that point I was so addicted.
Sprawls pleaded guilty to intimidating a witness and stealing cocaine. It's believed he was the highest-ranking law enforcement official in state history convicted of stealing drugs. Brockton attorney Kevin Reddington would later represent Sprawls on appeal.
It basically cast a pall over pretty much all of the pending drug prosecutions. It was pretty significant.
385 pending drug cases were thrown out because Sprawls had possibly tainted the evidence. We don't know if the drugs Sprawls took included evidence from the Guillermo Rodriguez coke case back in 1985, but the timelines match up. When Rodriguez was murdered, the drug charges against him were dropped. What happened to the drug evidence, we don't know. But Darrell Jones, who was convicted of killing Rodriguez, thinks there might be a connection between the coke stolen from the police evidence room and the murder of alleged drug dealer Guillermo Rodriguez.
This guy's a quote-unquote major coke dealer, right? He's saying he's innocent. He won't take no deals. Now, you don't just get killed right before the trial time out of the blue. You know what I mean? That don't just happen. All I know is the chief of police supposed to be the one looking over all these reports in my case. What we know about Sprawls, Sprawls was stealing all the cocaine at that time. Who's got to cover up?
Richard Sprawls adamantly denies he had anything to do with the death of Guillermo Rodriguez. And WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting could find no evidence of a link. Sprawls served 28 months in prison and lost his police pension. For years, he worked unloading beer trucks. And then one day in 2012, he bought a lottery ticket.
They started to scratch, so I looked, 16, 16, 16, 16. Scratched $1 million. God's a great even or upper, isn't he?
Since his conviction, Richard Sprawls has been going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and says he'll continue to attend for the rest of his life. Darrell Jones has been in prison 30 years, and unless he gets a new trial, that's where he'll spend the rest of his life.
You know, whatever they tried to do to me, I've been blessed to have people with me throughout these years. I've never been alone. You know what I mean? I'm thankful for that. You know, that's God watching out.
But it will take the courts to answer Jones's prayers. His past appeals have all been denied. Last October, the Innocence Program filed a motion to get Jones a new trial. But the odds of that happening make winning the lottery look good. Lisa Cavanaugh is director of the program.
Darrell was convicted 30 years ago, and in the eyes of the court, in the eyes of the prosecutor, probably in the eyes of many members of the public, he's guilty. So to say it's an uphill battle is an understatement.
Brockton police will not comment about Darrell Jones's case. The Plymouth County DA's office has asked for an extension to mid-February to respond to Jones's motion for a new trial. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.